You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, everybody. It's Adrian Bugatti here. Welcome to the SN Fresen Show, where it's all about the food. And, of course, what else am I going to talk about now? It's Pesach. Pesach comes on Friday, so I'm talking about Pesach. But I'm not sharing recipes. I'm sharing my thoughts on what we've done to ourselves in regards to Pesach. Pesach is a time of sadness for the Jewish people. We were slaves, but it's also a time of great joy because we were released from slavery and started making our way back into Israel. And I've been thinking and watching all the newspaper adverts and all the hype about Pesach, and I'm wondering if we haven't become slaves to Pesach ourselves. We're straining our wallets to have products that we really don't need. And most of the time, we don't actually use during the rest of the year. We're serving meals that we don't normally serve, even on Shabbos. You know, huge, elaborate meals that people aren't going to enjoy because they're already stuffed from the Seder. Do we really need three different fishes to start with? Do we need the soup and knedlach? Do we need the chicken and the meat choices? Do we need the three sides and the salad and then the dessert? And then we still have to finish the afrikomen. By the time you get to your starter, you've had matzah, you've had lettuce, you've had your charoset, you've had your eggs and salt water. You've pretty much already had a meal. And now we're adding to it. We're going to force our guests to eat all this food. And I do feel sorry for the hostesses for second night, because by the time first night is over, everybody's already full. Then they've gone out for lunch and eaten even more. And then it's second night. And second day lunch is a nightmare for everybody because nobody's hungry anymore. I belong to a lot of Facebook groups and a lot of WhatsApp groups and a lot of Pesach groups, Telegram, and places like that. And I've been watching and reading and listening to the comments. And I'm thinking, what are we doing to ourselves? We're making ourselves insane. If you speak to women anywhere, they're going to tell you Pesach is just about their worst chag. And most of it is not the cleaning and the prep beforehand. It's the cooking that we're doing. It's trying to find that rare Pesach product, you know, and worrying about it. And I just feel that we've done it to ourselves. By the time the Seder comes around, you sit at the table, you are exhausted, you don't enjoy it. You don't enjoy it if watching the reaction of the little kids when you pull out your plagues, and the story just loses everything. And halfway through supper, you're ready to fall asleep because you've been on your feet for like 24 hours preparing this huge meal. And yes, a lot of people are able to have their friends bring food in. But what if you can't? What if your family doesn't keep kosher? Have you asked them to buy stuff? You know, and then I look at us and I think, can we afford what we're doing? The exchange rate at the moment is shocking. And a lot of the products we're having to buy are from overseas. Yes, we've been lucky. There are local companies that are making great things like your mayonnaise and your tomato sauce and the margarine. And those things are great, but you're buying your shmura matzah, which has to come from overseas, at a huge cost. And that is an absolute for Pesach. You've got to have shmura matzah. Do you really need the imported chocolate and the biscuits made with matzah meal that costs an absolute fortune? Do you serve those during the year? Do you have those biscuits available in your house all the time? I think that's where we've got to look at ourselves. A couple of years ago, I changed the way I did Yontov, not just Pesach, all the Yom Tovim. It was costing a lot. We were having a lot of people. And I just felt that it's unnecessary with what we're doing. I found for Pesach 2 years ago something that was a huge help. It's a group called Prep for Pesach, and it's run by Lindy Foreman on WhatsApp. there's no commenting or anything. She posts every week prepping for Pesach. Little things that you can do starting in January already. So we're around about the time you're going to be making your homemade wine is the time you're going to start prepping for Pesach. And that's something that was important. It made my Pesach last year so much less stressful. It was little things like buying my toothpaste and my new toothbrushes already in January, by checking that my gas cylinder for my Pesach stove was filled and ready, and that any appliances that I have needed to be repaired or serviced or whatever it was already done weeks before I'd even changed over for Pesach. And she suggested keeping a book, which I did. And in my book, I have a list of everything that I was able to keep from one year to the next. Things that can be stored. I'm one of the lucky ones. I turned my outside storeroom into a little Pesach kitchen, and I have a small stove and a small fridge and a freezer in there. And I'm able to store my spices and things in a Tupperware in the freezer that don't go off. Because every time it comes to Pesach and I've got to buy a new spice and it's double the price for the rest of the year, it upsets me. And I do like my spices. I like my herbs a lot. So it just feels that it's important that I have that. I've also learned to stop buying the imported fish spice and the imported other spices. The local spices are just as good and they work fine. And really, I don't use fish spice during the year. Why am I buying it for Pesach? Seems silly to me. But that's what I'm doing. So I wanted to publicly thank Lindy for her amazing group. And then there's some other groups that really help, but they also make me a little bit stir crazy. And that's on Telegram. There are the Pesach recipe groups and the Pesach shopping group. I start to get stressed when I see other people's messages about where can I find this and where can I find this and who's got this amazing recipe and all those things. And I look at it and I think, during the year, I do not make biscuits. Why am I stressing myself out to make biscuits for Pesach? What is wrong with my ginger cake that I've made every year that lasts, it's the first 2 days of Pesach, and then I make it again for the last 2 days? Why do we need it extra? Why do I need biscuits during the week? We don't have that normally. And I look at things like the chips and the chocolate and all the imported stuff that is so expensive. And I wonder, what am I doing to myself? Last year we stopped that. And you know what? My children didn't starve to death and neither did we. So it was just, if I couldn't find something, I managed to do without it. I looked at the creamer, because there was no Orly Whip, and I just was not prepared to pay that kind of money. And you know what? I found a different dessert. I didn't need it. We managed fine without it. In fact, we had fruit salad. Nothing wrong with a fruit salad. So these are the things that we need to look at. And, you know, what I serve on Shabbos is the most important thing. And I don't serve such a big meal on Shabbos. Why am I serving it at the Seder? We have to keep asking ourselves, is it worth keeping up with the Kohens? And if you've got the money, then great, keep up with the Kohens. You are entitled to buy your luxuries. But when you're cash-strapped or on a budget, why are we forcing ourselves and stressing ourselves how the rest of the month is going to be when we've spent it all on 1 week? And we need to ask ourselves a few questions. And those questions I will come back to while we pause for a ad break.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi and welcome back. This is Adrienne Bugatti with the SN Fresen Show, where it's all about the food. And right now I'm talking about Pesach prep and Pesach food and the cost that it has. So we're saying that we kind of need to ask ourselves a few questions before we do our Pesach shopping. And the first thing is, do I have enough shmura matzah to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? You only need the shmura matzah for the seders. The rest of the time, you can use the normal matzah, which does come cheaper. Do I have enough wine or grape juice for the seders and for Shabbos and for Havdalah? If the answer is yes, then that's all you need. The most important thing is, do I have enough on my Seder plate to for everyone at my Seder table to fulfill my mitzvahs? Have I got enough lettuce? Have I got enough harosik? Have I got enough grain or potato for the parsley? Whatever we're going to use to make that. And if the answer is yes, then what more do you need? One of the groups I found on Facebook, which I've been a member for a long time, is not only a Pesach group, it's generally what's for dinner. And one of the things I learned from them, I haven't been able to do it yet because, you know, I've got my ingrained training, but I discovered a lot of these families, they have their Seder, and then they either have fish soup and knedel or fish, or meat or chicken, it's Israel, you know, and that's all, nothing else. They don't have anything extra. And I don't see why they're wrong. I know we're all here in South Africa taught, you know, great, you've got to have this and you've got to have the starter and how can you have all these guests without it? But by the time your guests get to your chicken soup and knedler, they're already stuffed full of lettuce and matzah. So by the time you come to serve your fancy dessert that you've spent ages making or huge amounts of money on, and as delicious as it may be, nobody's going to want to eat it. Everybody is quite full. So are they wrong? And when I look at the prices of the products that are available, not the local margarine, but the imported margarine that I saw the other day on the shelf for 250 grams is 53 rand. Now, that's about the same price as a brick of 500 gram butter. And my thought is this, why can't I live without margarine for a week? I've got oil for frying. I've got mayonnaise to stick on my matzah. Do I really, really need that margarine? Can I not live without it for a week? Do your children need the imported jam? Do we need that expensive cheese? Why can't we go out for a week without it? I found myself making biscuits last year, really expensive, delicious biscuits. Very simple. It's matzah, and then you make a caramel with sugar and water and some cracked salt and some nuts on top, and then a slab of melted chocolate. So it's sort of like a Pesach version of a millionaire's biscuit, but it's salted caramel. And as I was making the second batch, I suddenly thought about what the cost of this delicious biscuit that is going to be gone in seconds was costing me. The melting chocolate, the slab of chocolate, was expensive, and I had to use an entire slab for one batch of biscuits. And I just suddenly thought, well, you know what? What am I doing to myself? Why am I worrying about these kind of things when it isn't necessary? You know, why can't my guests have either chicken or meat instead of the choice? What's wrong with that? I do it during the year. Why don't I do it over Pesach? We're all scrambling now. The frozen chips from, I don't know where it is, but the brand, they've made chips for Pesach. I don't know what happened to us being able to do them ourselves from a fresh potato. You know, is it any different? You can make them yourself. Why do we have to have frozen veg when in the past fresh veg was fine? We all managed with baby marrows and butternut and fresh potato. I do turnips. There's carrots. There's so much out there that we need, and yet we panic and stress ourselves about the stuff we can't have instead of looking at the stuff we can have. There's, you know, the choices are endless, and the Seder should be something that we all enjoy, that we sit down to and we look forward to it instead of sitting down absolutely exhausted and wiped out beyond anything because we've just spent a week cooking or a week cleaning and 2 days of cooking. And, you know, especially for those who work, you know, and are hosting the Seders, there's just so much. Do you need the peanut butter? If it's the only thing your kids are going to eat, well then yes, peanut butter, great. But the chocolate spread, the imported chocolates from Israel, which are great for Shabbos treats or Yontif treats. But what about during the week, during Chol HaMoed? Do you give your family chips and chocolates and sweets during the week? If you do, then that's great. Then that's the same. But we've got to start looking towards ourselves and about how we treat our religion and how that we expect the religion to treat us. We look about at it and we look at the keeping kosher and we complain the cost of things are so expensive, and they are. But I had a look. The cost of non-kosher food isn't actually that much more. For those who shop at Woolworths, if you have a look at the treif meat, it is exactly the same price as the kosher meat. Yes, it does look better, and yes, it's cleaner. But in the end, it's the same cost. So if you're going to keep kosher or not kosher, it shouldn't come down to the choice of cost. It should come down to what we can do. And I think we need to all learn that Pesach is not supposed to be this huge, stressful event. You know, I created, which we're going to put on the website, is a Pesach Seder checklist that just made my life easier, worked out on how many guests I have and do I have everything. And I have put on whether we're buying cold drinks. And yes, I am going to buy cold drink because we have it on Shabbos, we have it on Pesach. And actually the Pesach cold drink this year seems to be cheaper than during the year. So I'm definitely buying that. But it's the other little things that I've had a look at. And I've put space on that, say the Pesach planner for 2 starters and 2 meats and your desserts and all that. Because there are people who are going to do that no matter what. It's the way we are. It's the way we've been brought up. I know that my mother still, when she does breaking of the fast, which is her thing, there's always so much food. And every year, and she always tells me she's not having so many people this year, but every year there's still at least 20 to break the fast. And there's usually leftovers for the rest of the week. And when I look at it, last year was the first Pesach where when I packed away my Pesach stuff, there was almost nothing left. We had eaten everything during the week and there was nothing wasted, nothing thrown away, because in all honesty, a lot of people, well, definitely me, my first night Seder meal is not something I want to repeat during the week unless I can turn it into a chicken mayonnaise salad or a beef on matzah sandwich. I don't make the Pesach rolls, which a lot of people do. I just feel we can live without them for a week. My kids and my family don't need a roll. There is matzah. I don't buy things that we don't use during the year. I don't buy for Pesach. And that took a bit of practice. It definitely was not my easiest change because, you know, it's all available and it's so tempting and looks so amazing. But I had to be realistic. Pesach is expensive and budget does not allow for these fancy things, no matter how much I wish it. That going to the shop and not having to look at prices would be wonderful, but not everybody can do that. I'm going to take a break and we'll be back on in a few minutes. Thank you for listening to the Essen Freshen Show.
You're listening to the Essen Freshen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, this is Adrian Bigotti. Welcome back to the Essen Freshen Show, where it's all about the food. And today, obviously, I'm talking about Pesach. So we've just spoken, well, I've just spoken about the cost of Pesach and how we're all making ourselves mad. But there's good parts to Pesach as well. One of the best has always been to watch the kids when they were little, discover the plagues, where we had the little insects and we had the little frogs that jumped and we did the blood and all those kind of things. Was such a great way for the kids to learn about Pesach. It made it enjoyable. It made them less cranky for the Seder, because honestly, it is a long time to expect your children to sit around. It's a long time for me to sit around. So watching them was just fun. And everybody does it differently. And what I always enjoy is opening my Haggadah and seeing the spills and the stains from each previous Seder that we've had, to remind us that family is there and that we've had friends and that some wine is going to be spilt, and it just, that is how life is and we must enjoy it. So the things to make your life easier for Pesach, one of them is to check with your rabbis to see exactly how much you need of everything to fulfill the mitzvah. You know, I remember the first time we were given this cardboard thing that showed us how much they were supposed to have. And we landed up, I mean, nobody enjoyed that Seder at all. There was just, we just kept eating stuff. And as we've learned and grown, we've learned that we don't need as much as we thought we did. And Pesach became a little easier to manage. You know, I didn't have to check parsley anymore. We were able to use potato, but obviously that's your minhag and how you do it. The lettuce, still not my favorite, but knowing that I don't have to eat as much as I used to think I did, those were kind of the things. Looking forward to the egg and salt water. My daughter the other day was saying that, you know, every year we say to ourselves, why don't we eat the egg and salt water during the year? It's delicious. And then she made herself some egg and salt water and it wasn't so delicious. It's something that is unique to Pesach and it's only nice to eat over Pesach. And for those of us who really, I mean, I can't do without my soup and knedel. I love my soup and knedel, but I've learned it's soup and one knedel, not three for each person. I've learned that if I'm going to serve a fish course, I need to have two fish on the table and no salad with it, because first of all, it takes everybody ages to eat all that food. And then by the time you get to the next course, they're all full already. So it's a limited amount. My one child gets a little upset because I count out the gefilte fish balls and that's exactly how much each person gets at the table. And she says, but then there's all the stuff in the fridge, but the gefilte fish lasts me the week, if she doesn't get to it too much. So, you know, learning to portion for your guests is a big part. So meal planning is a very big part of making your Seder enjoyable and making it affordable too. We have on, because I host both nights, we have one night we have chicken, the next night we have meat or vice versa, whichever way it is. And like I said, I definitely am buying cold drink. I like my cold drink on my Shabbos and Yom Tov. That is my treat to myself during the year as well. It's the only time we have it. But I've also learned to make iced tea instead of buying the cordials, which are filled with sugar. Rooibos is kosher for Pesach. Adding fresh fruit into it to infuse it gives you a fruit-flavored iced tea. You know, buying things that you really, really need. And then to make Pesach a little bit easier, or a little even more easy, should I say, is the meal planning. Meal planning to me is a very, very important part of how we get through each Seder. First of all, what meals are you having? Are you hosting any? Are you going out? Do you need to take something with? So check with the hostess. How many people is she having? So that you don't make too much or too little. For me, we sit down, if there's no guests, we're sitting down to 10 people. Obviously, I almost always have guests, so we normally sit down about 15 people to a meal. Once upon a time, I used to do 20, 30 people at a meal, and we would have all four. We'd have the two seders and the lunches, and by the end of Pesach, the week of Pesach, I would have had over 200 guests, because I would have guests during Chol HaMoed, and I'd have guests during Yom Tov. Things have changed, and I don't quite do so many people anymore. We still often have lots, but not as many. And that's an important thing. So you need to know, I'm doing first night Seder. I've got X amount of guests. How much do I need? So that would help with the buying as well. So your matzah, you'd need at least 3 or 4 pieces of shmorah matzah per person. Easy to count. There are 10 slices in a box. This is how many boxes I need. Then you need to know the lettuce. How much lettuce do I need? Lettuce is harder to gauge, so I often buy too much, but it's fine because during the week it goes into the salad. Your egg in salt water. Well, that's easy. We do a half an egg a person. End of story. No big deals. My knedlach, that I do, you know, also 1 knedel per person. It's quite a big one. Whereas before I used to make like this whole big pot and then everybody would have like go back for seconds and thirds. And by the time I was serving my meat, nobody wanted any meat. So I've learned to do that. The knedel, that recipe I will include as well on Chai's website so that you guys can find it. And it's an instant recipe. It's really quick. It's easy to make. And I mean, I don't mind making that during the week for the kids. Often that's something that, you know, everybody's so full of food that snoop and knedel can be lunch or supper during Chol HaMoed. It's easy. And then you've got to decide your menu. So menu is also pretty easy to do. Decide how many courses you want. That's an important thing to start with. And then if you're doing chicken, we're looking at 1 to 2 pieces of chicken per person. A breast would serve 1 person, sometimes even 2 if they're very big breasts. So you can get the chicken pieces. If you've got a whole chicken, you count your chicken as making 8 pieces. We often don't count the wings because I use my wings in the soup to make my soup. But cutting your chicken up, you've got your pieces, your gravy that you're going to make. If you're having meat, it's about 200 to 250 grams of meat per person, because remember, you are serving sides. So that's an important thing. And then you've got to look at the food that you're going to make, that it's not going to dry out while you're waiting, while you're reading from your Haggadah, that it's taking a long time, you know, because discussions happen, explanations come up, and some learning needs to take place. So we want to know that that's like not going to dry out. So choosing your meal that has a good gravy or that something that can carry on in the heat for longer is important as well. But you're not only looking at your seders. You need to look at the whole week. The whole week is 4 Yom Tovim. That's an important thing because you are going to make more than you would normally. So it is going to cost you more than it would normally. But you need to look at the meals. If you don't want to cook during the week, which for me with Pesach is something I never, you know, it's not something I often have where I don't feel like cooking, but there are times I've done this whole Seder really during the week. I've got to now think of other stuff. I'd really rather not have to cook. So I do make a bit extra so that during the week we can have leftovers. I can take the leftover chicken and turn it into a chicken mayonnaise. You can make a lasagna with matzah. You can take your meat and turn it into a beef sandwich. So it's a matzah sandwich, you know, those kind of things. Stew, you know, you can make yourself a Shabbos stew, and then that's during the week as well. obviously there are flavors that I miss, but it's easy to fix that. You know, we like our curry, but making spicy food is easy because there's chilies and they're fresh. Then you need to look at during the week, what are your kids going to have for breakfast? Now, yes, it does become a problem. The breakfast cereals at 100 rand a box are not making an appearance in my house. Never have and never will. So what do you feed your kids? Now my kids are big. It's quite easy. They can help themselves to whatever they like. But when they were little, we used to do the matzah French toast and scrambled eggs or boiled eggs. So we did go through a lot more eggs during Pesach than we do during the year. But that was fine. Eggs are not a big thing. So that's something. And Pesach does take a little more planning than during the year. So you do need to know what are we going to have for lunch, because there's no instant noodles. There's no toasted sandwiches or breads. Yogurt is not as easy to get and sometimes a little bit too expensive to buy for them to eat. Lots of fresh fruit. Well, that's easy to do, but does take a little bit of thought. And that's why my meals often when I plan are planned with a little extra to put in. It doesn't always work because I have big eaters and I sometimes have the kids inviting friends or somebody coming over and I don't always know how many people are going to come for a meal. You know, the Seders are a little bit more structured, but during the week, the kids, you know, they're bored, they hang out with their friends, the friends land up staying over, that kind of thing. So you want to have more availability. But we have tuna during the year. We have tuna Pesach. So tuna salads are easy to make. And really, if your kids only eat bread, then they're actually a lot healthier during Pesach because they're not having the matzah. They're not having as much starch as they normally do. Yes, you can get the pasta, you know, you can buy the egg noodles or whatever they are for Pesach. I must admit, I've never bought them just because in my mind it's a little odd to be having noodles over Pesach. But, you know, if that's what your kids are going to eat, then that's what you're buying. And you can fix all of those up. One of the things that I've done this year is given my clients for the meal plan subscription, I've given them a meal plan that is going to cover Pesach, that the meals are all Pesach friendly and that they are easy, you know, to adapt. So here is this week's meal plan. Obviously, Monday night I did roast squash with the last of my couscous. And the kids had macaroni and cheese because they've been nagging for ages. But by today, we're changing over. So I've got twice baked potato with tuna. My twice baked potato is basically a potato that I microwave. I scoop out the flesh. I mash it up with some chopped up peppers, some tuna, some cheese, and some spices. I put it back into the potato skin. I sprinkle some more cheese on top and back into the oven. It's an easy Pesach friendly recipe that we eat during the year. I haven't made any changes. Tomorrow night we're going to have cottage pie. It's Wednesday, so I do my mince on a Wednesday. I have made a few changes to this mince recipe and it does cost me a little bit more than during the year because I normally bulk my recipes up with beans and oat bran, which here I can't do. So I will be using a lot more mince, but I also add more vegetable. I grate baby marrow into it. I grate a carrot into it just to add the bulk. And then my sweet potato topping, same as during the year. For Thursday night, I'm doing a beef stew. Simple, easy to make, and really it's all your vegetables together. It's your potatoes, your carrots, celery, onion, garlic, and your beef. We've got potatoes in. You don't have to have rice, so no stressing. For Friday night, it's Seder night. We're doing the normal Seder. We've got all my stuff. And then it's obviously chicken soup and knedla. I'm doing a lemon chicken The vegetables are baby marrows and mashed turnips. And then dessert is just fruit salad. To the clients that are on my subscription, I've given the recipe for poached pears. Just something a little different, you know, to make life a little easier. We've got stir fry vegetables for one night. I've got a tuna and potato bake. So I've got potatoes and tuna, some cheese again, literally the same thing that went into my twice baked potato, just served slightly different. We're going to have meatballs and potato and mash, or meatballs and fries, or meatballs and wedges, whatever I feel like making with the potatoes. And then once again, a vegetable. I haven't got thought about what the vegetable will be, but probably baby marrow because my kids quite like that, or even patty pans. Thursday night, you know, so everything can be adjusted to make Pesach easy. So Friday night, I've told you it was the chicken soup with knedlach, the lemon chicken, baby Mario's, turnip mash, and a fruit salad. For second night, it's a slight change, not much. This time, it's once again soup and knedlach, but I'll be having a red meat, a beef, done in a slow cooker. You know, and if you don't have a slow cooker for Pesach, I was lucky. I mean, mine is unfortunately on its last legs, but I got an insert for my electric frying pan when we got married. And that turns my electric frying pan into a slow cooker. But you put your beef in with your gravy and it slow cooks. If you don't have a slow cooker, in a pot or in a tinfoil dish, put your beef in with enough liquid, tightly seal it, and cook it on a very low temperature for at least 4 hours in your oven. Slow cooking can be done in the crock pot, in the slow cooker, or in your oven. So it doesn't make a difference. Slow cooked beef that falls apart. And once you've got it cooked for the Seder and it's in your warming drawers, it's going to carry on cooking slightly. So by the time you serve it, it should be really, really soft. And your vegetables. A potato kugel, a butternut kugel, a baby marrow kugel. There are endless possibilities. And for dessert, there's an Eaton, it's called an Eaton Mess Bomb. It looks fancy. So if you're buying the Oli Whip or whatever the dairy topping substitute, then this is the perfect dessert because you whip it up into a nice cream. You put in some meringue. You put in some cut up berries into the freezer. And then when it's time to serve, you tip it out and it just looks really fancy. But there's poached pears, there's baked apple. There's so much variety available. Sorbets, you know, if you have the time to make a sorbet, otherwise to buy one, but you don't really need ice cream. If you can't, I did find last year on Jamie Geller's website, there was an ice cream, a chocolate ice cream that had no dairy substitute, no cream substitute in it at all. It was a beautiful chocolate ice cream. Did use a lot of eggs though, I must admit. So there's so much variety to do and we're all stressing ourselves of what we're going to feed our families. It's not that hard. It's as difficult as during the year. So if you're stressed during the year about what to feed your children and your family, then Pesach is the same as during the year. But if you're not stressing during the year, then why are we stressing over Pesach? It's just about the same fruit. Yes, we've got, you can't have beans, green beans. You can't have peas, which my kids are quite upset about because it's one vegetable that everybody in the house eats. You know, there's no corn. We can live without it. But there's so much else. There's butternut, there's pumpkin, there's potato, there's sweet potato, different varieties of sweet potato. There's turnips, there's parsnips. There's so much you can do. There's cabbage. there's so much available for us to do that you can actually experiment over Pesach. I did last year, I realized, because I don't like tzimmus, I've never made it. My children have never had tzimmus. So last year for the first time, they all had tzimmus. Nobody liked it. I guess I don't have to make it again this year. So that's a great thing for me. But it's an important time for all of us to realize that we're not food. Life shouldn't revolve around food. We should be enjoying ourselves, enjoying our seders, and making things that we enjoy eating, not stressing over trying to find substitutes for stuff we don't normally eat anyway. And that's something that everybody has to look at. I really feel that Pesach should be fun. It should be happy. Cleaning for Pesach isn't always a great thing. Trying to find space to clear out your kitchen cupboards and find space to put the stuff that was in that kitchen cupboard, that can be a little stressful. As my kids have gotten older, it's their responsibility to check their rooms. When you've got little kids, then you've got to check the rooms yourselves for the food that's been hidden and under the bed and behind the couch and in the cushions and all over the place. So as your kids get older, that part gets a little easier, not having to worry about what toys went into which mouth. Those things are a lot simpler. Worrying about your pets, that is a little difficult. You know, finding the right pet food, that's an important part of Pesach as well. But there's so much out there, and there are books out there. Obviously, we all know of the one supermarket chain, which has got a book out, and it's come out every year. And this year's has been even better. It literally tells you how to kasher everything, which has always had, but this year it's got pictures, and you can see what they're talking about. It has a list of all the products. It's got the list of the medications that are kosher for Pesach, or that need, you know, a new way to take them because it's Pesach time. Life is a lot easier than 30 years ago, 40 years ago, where you could only get, and the Beth Din have come out with the green list. It's a list of products that say, this is what you're allowed to buy. It doesn't have to have a Pesach extra. If they've said this needs a Pesach extra, chances are there's a very good reason. I know I was listening to a conversation on coffee the other day, and somebody was saying, but why does coffee need the hesher? Please remember that the coffee, the process of freeze drying the coffee can contain, you know, other products in the line. So it does need to be watched a little bit more carefully. If you're using fresh coffee beans, that's a different story. Your Pesach, your tea bags, you know, the plain tea bags have all been fine. You can have your normal rooibos. You can have your normal black tea. Those teas are fine. It's the fruit flavors that may be a problem because there's additives in them. Sugar, I know people get a bit stressed about that. How can sugar not be kosher? All these things have processes that have been really investigated to find out why and why not. They're saying to us, you know, if you can't get Chalev Israel, you know, maybe you can't afford it or it's just not available, you're allowed to buy the butter before Pesach or the normal milk before Pesach to use during Pesach. We don't have to stress that I didn't find Pesachtik milk. I didn't find Pesachtik butter. Once again, if you can live without it, you can live without it. I might have a problem without my milk because I drink a lot of tea. But it's there. I had a look today in my freezer. I have 3 bottles of milk. Yes, I do have the Pesach milk, but I'm not stressed because I might run out. It's there. It's the convenience, and we do have it easier here than most places. We'll be right back after this break to finish the show.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, day and welcome back. This is Adrian Bugatti on the SN Freshen Show, where it's all about the food. And I've been talking about Pesach and Pesach planning and how stressful Pesach is and what things you can do to make it easier and what companies in this country have done to make it easier for all of us, and what people have done. So I want to take the time now to thank the companies that have gone Pesachtik for all of us, the non-Jewish companies. You know, yes, our kosher butchers and our kosher bakeries, great. But the companies that don't need to go kosher for us, that we're not their biggest, purchasers. We're not their biggest market, but they've gone out of their way to make our lives a lot easier. So thank you to them. And then also to look at the people whose groups have saved countless of us from going gray. So first of all, Prep for Pesach Lindy, because she's definitely made my life easier. And then the groups, I'm going to apologize now because I'm going to mention their names and I haven't told them. So I'd like to thank Tehillah Ozeri and Hillary Kushner, both of whom, along with Lindy, have Pesach groups that help you shop, get your recipes, and to all the ladies who post on there your recipes and your spotting of bargains. It's been amazing, you know, and it's one thing about the Jewish community, especially in South Africa, that just is unrivaled anywhere. You spot a special, you spot a product that everybody's looking for, and it's posted immediately. I saw this at this place. This is the price. You know, it's just been amazing. You know, questions. Anybody got a recipe for this kind of thing? Anybody got a recipe for that? And people are posting. I must admit this year I didn't post anything. I normally do, but I have been off social media for a while now, so I haven't really posted on anywhere. But I have been reading, I promise. Because I'm getting some amazing ideas and also some jealousy from some of these amazing recipes that I know I'm not going to make because there's no time or nobody else in my house is going to eat it. So I'm not making it for one person. So to those ladies who've made Pesach so much easier, thank you very much. That it's a huge help. The kosher websites and the kosher department who answer all the questions that everybody posts up, and even to the international groups that I belong to who are quite happy to answer my weird questions from all over the world. I must admit I've listened to the Australian Kashrut Authority. They had a question and answer on Facebook a while ago, so I was on listening to that with some great advice, and just some ideas and tips. Obviously, you've got to follow your rabbi and your minhag and go with what you are. But it's nice to learn what other people are doing. It's nice to learn other customs and see how things can change. And yes, we all joke around, oh, I wish I could have rice. I wish I could have peas. But really for 1 week, it's not the end of the world. We'll all survive. We've survived this long on Pesach. We can survive some more Pesach, a few more, another Pesach. Please God, next year Mashiach, and we won't have Pesach. But in the meantime, please everybody, enjoy your Pesach. Don't stress. Don't overdo it. Don't kill your wallets. And don't drive yourself absolutely insane because you don't have something. Nobody is going to starve to death at your Seder table, I promise. We're Jewish. There's one thing we do well, and that is food. So everybody enjoy and thank you for listening. This is Adrian from the Essen Fressen Show and have a chag kosher Pesach and we'll speak to you again afterwards.